This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Today's guest is Mark Whitworth, the VP for Intercollegiate Athletics and University Communications. Under Mark's leadership, Asbury became members of NCAA D3 and the NCCAA, had several student-focused enhancements to athletics facilities, and was named the NCCAA's King Chasing Institution of the Year this past year. Prior to Asbury, Mark served on the Southeastern Conference staff for 27 years in roles that include Director of Media Relations and Associate Commissioner for External Affairs. He participated in the SEC's media rights negotiations with ESPN and CBS, which also resulted in the launch of the SEC Network. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Mark. Well, hey, Mark, welcome to King Chasing. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Brandon. Really appreciate you having me on today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're thrilled to have you on. I know you're a busy guy, so we're going to jump right in and get going here. Now, you served on the Southeastern Conference staff in several different roles for 27 years. I can only imagine how many stories you have that you could share, but are there maybe a few of your favorite memories that you could share with us?
Yeah, actually, Brandon, I actually started in the communications and media relations side of the business. And so I have a great understanding of what you do day to day. Back in the early days of my career, one of the things that really sticks out is the SEC was the first conference to start a conference championship football game. And I remember the commissioner bringing a few of us in to share this idea, and it was a revolutionary concept back then in college football. I mean, it really was kind of a radical departure from the landscape of college football at the time. And so that was one that I'll always remember. Certainly, a lot of the television negotiations that resulted in really the SEC moving from a regional brand to a national brand are things that come to mind. I think about a lot of the personalities and the different coaches that I was fortunate enough to work with, a lot of household names there, and certainly great programs across the board in the SEC. You know, people probably remember the bowl championship series that was the kind of the precursor to the playoff that we have now. And the SEC actually won 7 straight BCS championships. And so to be a part of that run, if you will, of 7 consecutive was just, you know, unthinkable.
Yeah.
And so I used to kid people, the SEC was kind of like the New York Yankees. Either you love them or you hate them. And there were people on both sides of that. So, sure. But that was really exciting. And then, you know, a number of Final Fours and national championships, College World Series. I mean, just the list goes on. What a great, you know, privilege and opportunity for me to serve. And I'll cherish those memories for my lifetime, for sure.
You touched on this a little bit, but you were able to participate in the league's media rights negotiations, resulted in unprecedented agreements with ESPN and CBS, the launch of the SEC Network, and then an extension with ESPN in 2013. You also helped incorporate Texas A&M and Missouri as new members in 2012. So for those of us who are kind of watching from afar, as the college sports landscape has shifted so much recently, what were those experiences like for you to be a part of?
Well, I think back, I was in my 20s when we first expanded with Arkansas and South Carolina back in the early 90s. And I just remember the whole, again, the whole concept of expansion. was pretty new, and we were trying to keep these, you know, these things confidential. And I'll never forget a reporter from Memphis called me one night, a beat reporter, after hours. I was still at the office, but he had broken the story that we were going to expand and that we were going to have a football championship game. And he presented it to me and he just said, you know, can you just confirm or deny? And I had to respond as a communications professional. Brandon, you'll appreciate this. I responded that I really can't comment on that matter. Well, right then he knew he had the story.
Right.
So, it was a national story because, you know, again, college football was pretty well rooted in its tradition. And the SEC was always at the forefront and a leader. But to do things like that was, again, a pretty new concept and a new idea. And it's almost laughable now when you look at conference realignment now and expansion and West Coast teams being in the Big Ten and the ACC. And yeah, it almost makes what the SEC did look somewhat reasonable because at least it was regional.
Right.
And so, you know, to be a part of those conversations through the real growth, I mentioned it before, but the growth of the SEC going from a regional brand to a national brand was incredible. The foresight, the creativity of some of the athletics directors, our commissioners, our presidents that were leading the league at the time. And then our coaches had to come on board. You know, you can imagine, I mean, coaches like things the way they are because they're comfortable there. They can manage to those expectations. And for, you know, I remember guys like Steve Spurrier saying, you know, I mean, you've turned our world upside down. You know, I've got to win two more critical games and late in the season. You just made my job that much more difficult. And so for these institutions and these coaches to say at that point, hey, we think it's good for the league. We think it's good for the game. And we're willing to do it, even though it's going to make our jobs more difficult. Those conversations were fascinating to be a part of. And then you had what was taking place in those meeting rooms. And then you'd have what was taking place in the media. And somebody would get frustrated and they'd say some things or they'd go a little bit too far with their comments. And then we'd have to manage those things. So, I mean, as I reflect back, I mean, you've even opened up some memories as I think back. But it was really a fascinating time to be a part of college athletics.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. You're currently serving at Asbury University as the VP for Intercollegiate Athletics and University Communications. Can you share your journey of how you landed at Asbury?
I can. It's an interesting story. I actually don't remember a day that I wasn't aware of Asbury University. My mom and dad are alums. My dad was on the faculty here. And so Asbury has always been a part of my life. I went to school here, got my degree, met my wife here, and have just deep, deep love for the mission and the vision of this institution. It has profoundly impacted me. And so, you know, I always thought, you know, about Asbury Athletics, how could we grow that? Even as a, you know, member of the SEC staff, I would think about, you know, occasionally, I wonder how things are at Asbury. I wonder, you know, I'd really try to help out and that kind of thing when I could. And in 2008, our president at the time, Dr. Sandra Gray, reached out to me and asked me if I'd consider being a member of the Board of Trustees. Well, obviously, I mean, that's a huge honor. And so that point really enabled me to get much more deeply connected with the institution. So for the next 10 years, I served on the Board of Trustees and actually was the vice chair of the board the last three years. And again, it was a great honor. And it you know, I would bring up athletics occasionally, but not much. I mean, you know, board work was so comprehensive in nature that that I really didn't want us to get sidetracked by some of those kind of conversations. And so one day Dr. Gray said to me, we've got a meeting coming up. I'd like to sidebar with you for a few minutes. So I thought it was board related conversation. And so we met. We were over at the Cove, actually, in North Carolina, the Billy Graham Conference Center. Yeah. I'll never forget. And she said, you know, I'm thinking about athletics and I'm thinking about a new vision and I feel like new leadership is necessary. And so I said, well, that's, you know, how can I help? You know, I'm happy to help you find someone. And she said, well, I found who I want. And I said, really? That's great. Who is it? And she said, it's you. And so I kind of chuckled and I said, you know, I just don't know that the timing's right, or, you know, I'm honored, but and so she said some other things and it was really kind. And so I said, well, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. And so, you know, over the next couple of months, I didn't even really talk to my wife much about it. She was aware of it. And I shared with a friend in Birmingham, and we were having coffee that fall. And it was probably 3 or 4 months after she'd asked me about it. And she said, and my friend said, hey, what are you thinking about Asbury? And he said, are you thinking much about it? And I said, you know, I said, I'm really intrigued. I mean, I love the idea of being able to build something and build on the great work that other people had done, but maybe just, you know, to use an overused phrase, take it to the next level. And I said, what do you think? And he said to me, he said, I don't know what to tell you. He said, but every time you talk about Asbury, you light up. Hmm. And that was a brother in Christ speaking truth to me that I knew in my heart. And the other interesting thing about this is that I was going through a Bible study in Birmingham with my pastor and a couple other guys called The Battle for the Heart. The whole concept was living from the deep desires of your heart and really living out of God's call in your life. Well, all of these things began to intersect. And so in December, my wife and I were up here in Kentucky. Where Asbury is, and we met, the three of us, with the president, my wife, the president, and she just laid out the vision for my wife and just talked about, you know, how we really want to call our students, our student athletes, our men on this campus to walk with Jesus and to me, you know, to plant that flag, if you will, to take a stand and live for Christ. And so, it's a great meeting. And I got in the car and we were driving back to my wife's mom's house. And I looked at my wife and I said, what do you think? And she said, we've got to come. We've got to come to Asbury. And so, you know, we all have defining moments in our life. And that was a defining moment in my life. Because, you know, some people get called to the mission field. We were just called, you know, to our alma mater. And so, but it was a clear call. And, you know, I thank God every day. I mean, I have never been more clear on my why than I am right now. It's hard work, but it's good work. And so that's how I got to Asbury. And so later that spring, we came and now I've completed 5 years here. And, you know, God's been so faithful to bless our vision. We've got a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunities, but we are so thankful to be here and to work with our coaching staff and our student athletes. And, you know, I sit on the president's cabinet as a vice president. And so I'm just honored to be a part of a place that really makes much of Jesus and really tries to keep him at the center of everything we do.
Yeah, it's a great story. Now, athletically, Asbury is a NCAA D3 and an NCCAA member. What's the biggest difference from these levels to when you were working in the SEC from an administration standpoint?
That's a great question, Brandon. I think, you know, all of our colleagues at the small college level will know this, but it's resources. We started a sponsorship program here a year after I got here. And I work harder for a sponsorship with a lot fewer zeros on the end at Asbury than I did even at the SEC. So we celebrate the big victories and the small victories. And we try to hold it gently because we know that, you know, apart from Christ, this is just going to be us playing games and putting uniforms on student athletes and putting them on buses and vans and that kind of thing. But with Christ, I mean, this is something that we are going to, I mean, we're competing for the glory of God. I mean, we just started a new kind of mission statement for our student athletes called Serve, Train, Compete. So we want to serve, train, and compete for the glory of God. But the differences, are significant because obviously in the SEC, you've got a lot of people that are paying attention. You've got a lot of media coverage. And so there are very few things that you do in a vacuum. Just about everything you do is there's a public reaction to it. And so there are public reactions even in a small college, campus, but not to the extent. So you don't have to manage that like you do at the Power Five level. I will tell you, I mean, what I found here was very committed, very talented administrators. Brandon, you know some of our staff. I mean, these are people that could be doing this at the D1 level with no problem. And I tell them a lot because I want to call out their glory and their giftedness. We are so privileged to have these kinds of people here at Asbury. And what I feel like my job is to give them the adequate runway to run on so they can be fulfilled professionally and missionally. And so we work hard to try to create opportunities and resources beyond just our basic budget. And so, again, God's been really faithful there. And we celebrate that a lot because we know His hand is in it. And we're humbled and blessed. We really are.
Asbury was in the national spotlight last year for a revival that lasted for over 2 weeks. Were you able to attend any portion of it? And if so, what was that like? And what was the overall vibe on campus?
I'll be honest with you. It was like nothing I've been a part of in my life. I feel so privileged to have been here. And yes, I was right in the middle of it. In fact, I don't think if you asked our athletic staff, I don't think I was even in the Luce Center for about 10 straight days because I was down at Hughes Auditorium. Wow. I ended up that first day kind of getting, brought into this little core team. And so, our days would start at about 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and they typically would end at about 1 a.m. Wow. And we just followed that cycle for over 2 weeks. And the thing that was so amazing about that, I mean, it was there's so many dimensions, but, you know, our students here were the forerunners. And there were a couple dozen students that just decided, you know, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit to just stay and linger and pray and worship. And by the time I walked in Hughes Auditorium that afternoon, it was about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, and there were probably two or 300 students in there. And by that night, there were probably about 1,000.
Wow!
And by the next day, I mean, it was packed. And for the next 2 weeks, it was packed. And our student athletes were right in the middle of it. And it was just so humbling to see the desire, the hunger for Christ, this expectancy that God is going to show up to confess people's desperate need for Jesus. One of the themes that really emerged early on and continued was this idea of radical humility before the Father. And it was really neat because the guy that was actually preaching that February 8th, that Wednesday, is one of our volunteer soccer coaches, and he's a pastor. And we all know Zach Meerkroops well, and he's a brother in Christ. But for God to have used him in that way has really been humbling for him as well. In fact, he's just getting back from Europe for about 2 weeks, sharing and talking about the outpouring and how God worked here at Asbury back in February. And so we had students from over 300 universities actually physically come to our campus over that 16-day period. And we have things come up every day that take us back to the outpouring. And, you know, I just saw yesterday that Auburn University had a worship night in their basketball arena, which I had been in many times. And they had about 5,000 students from what I read, and they had hundreds that wanted to be baptized. And
amen.
And they referred back to the outpouring at Asbury. And then Jenny Allen, who you know, probably many of our listeners know, was on our campus and came and spent a day. She referred back to the Asbury outpouring, and she's actually coming back to campus later this year. And so there are endless connections to what God did, and we are just thankful. And the other thing I'll just add, and you'll appreciate this as a communications professional, the media coverage was national, really global in scope. And so 3 or 4 days into it, I kind of switched from a ministry mode to a media relations mode, because we were getting media requests from everybody from, you know, Fox News to the New York Times to, you know, all the local and regional television stations and newspapers. And so my SEC media relations training really helped immensely.
Sure.
I'd seen that kind of intense coverage before. And so I was at home in that environment. And again, that's just another reason God brought me to Asbury. I mean, I firmly see that now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I know that started, I think, right before our indoor track championships, because I feel like I was just barely hearing about it. And then we started hearing about student athletes at our track championship who were leaving the next day to go to Asbury and weren't competing in events that they were scheduled to compete in. So, yeah, I mean, to be able to see that and to see kind of from afar how well Asbury managed that, because, I mean, that's a lot having that many people come into town every day. Small town like that. So glory to God. It was incredible to watch. So
we estimate that we've had probably 60 or 70,000 people.
Wow.
No more in that 2 week period.
Mm.
It was just a beautiful picture of the body of Christ coming together and supporting us as an institution, as the host, if you will. And then just that sense of, I want to have a fresh encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And people would stand in line for hours, up to 8 or 10 hours, to get into Hughes Auditorium. And the spirit of the people in the line, I mean, they were having worship in that line. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. I hope I do again soon.
Yeah. Now, last year, Asbury was named the NCCA King Chasing Institution of the Year, which showcases Asbury's commitment to integrating Christ within its athletic department. What are some of the ways that you've been able to integrate Christ, and how have you been able to get buy-in from your athletic staff?
Well, again, as I said to you earlier, you know, when I got here, there were a lot of people that love the mission of this institution, and that's just to put Christ at the center. And so for us, you know, that's part of our normal commitment. And so I just love the fact that the King Chasing program provides kind of the framework of the architecture and the way to position, you know, this intersection of faith and sports. And we use that a lot because it just resonates with our students and with our prospects and their parents and families and that kind of thing. So, you know, we work hard at trying to engage other people from our campus community, a lot of people from the Asbury constituency, if you will, you know, we love to put people in front of our student athletes that can tell their story of how they met Christ, oftentimes here at Asbury, and then how they're walking with Jesus now in their careers. You know, so, you know, we've also put together a program where we have hired an athletics chaplain, and it's actually Zach Meerkreeps, who was the guy who was preaching that day at the outpouring February 8th. And so we're just trying to be a little bit more intentional day by day. If you walked around the Luce Center, you'd see the, you know, these King chasing standards around, because we want to make the main thing the main thing. And if we can give people just some tools and equip them to really help them unpack and understand the gospel, then that's something that we place a high value on. And again, we just really appreciate the NCCAA, you know, coming alongside us in that. So it's a great program, and we're obviously thrilled to be a part of it. And we were really honored to be named the King Chasing Institution of the Year. And hopefully, I mean, I just want to challenge all of us. I mean, let's all strive to do that. We are more than happy to share that award for sure.
What advice do you have for athletic directors who are trying to build a winning culture alongside of a Christ-centered culture?
You know, we, as Christians, we're familiar with the concept of stewardship. And so, you know, we talk a lot about stewardship in that, you know, we need to manage the gifts that God gives us as student athletes, as coaches, as a university, as a program. And so the other thing we say, if you heard us speak to some of our prospects and their families, our scoreboards actually work. We keep score. And we think that is stewardship. You know, we want to strive for excellence. Now, does that mean we're going to go undefeated? Does that mean we're going to win championships in every sport? I wish we could, but probably not. But we want to steward our gifts to the best of our abilities. And we feel like excellence is, it's contagious. And so we want to play hard. We want to play well. We want to be well coached. And so I would tell any administrator, and we preach this to ourselves. We want to be excellent, and don't shy away from that. Pray that God will bless your efforts. You know, pray that God will help you maximize your resources in a way that you can be competitive. Because you think about in business or in the marketplace, you know, excellence resonates. And so there is absolutely nothing unchristian about competing at a high level and being excellent. I mean, there's just, you know, I think that is a biblical concept. And we want to, as I said, we want to serve, we want to train, and we want to compete for the glory of God.
Well, that's all the time we have. But thank you, Mark, for joining us on King Chasing.
It is my pleasure. And Brandon, I thank you and the entire staff there. You guys do a great job, and you guys encourage and bless us all very regularly, and we appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again to Mark for sharing about his time working in the SEC, Asbury's over 2-week-long revival, and ways that he integrates Christ within the athletic department. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.